we've managed to catch up with the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Dean McPherson. We're chatting about the construction mafia and whether KwaZulu-Natal is safe or not. In a recent interview, Minister McPherson, you said, no, it is not safe. Can you elaborate on that statement?
Sure, Bronwyn, and thanks for having me today. You know, KZN as a province, unfortunately, has a history of violence that is rooted in the political discourse of our province and of our country. And that unfortunately seems to have transcended into the construction space now, where we have what we would call the construction mafia bring projects to a stop. They use extortion, violence, intimidation, and all different types of tactics to effectively seek money out of construction companies in order that they can further their own interests. So it's incredibly destabilizing for our province and also for the investment climate that we need to create, because investors don't want to put their money into projects that are going to be delayed or cancelled. And it's ultimately our communities that suffer because infrastructure projects aren't being rolled out. So it's not something that we take lightly, but we do want to confront it head on. I've said that there's no room for negotiation. There's no room for talks. We just need to get on with the job of building infrastructure across South Africa, and that's what we intend to do.
When you do tackle it head on, as you say, you are perhaps in the firing line when it comes to death threats and the like. This has been experienced by members within your team. Can you, again, talk us through the severity of the situation and how seriously you take threats of this nature?
Well, of course. I mean, any threats made against myself or any other politician, as they have already been done with the MEC of Public Works and Infrastructure, is taken seriously by the South African Police Service. But, you know, what we can't allow is we can't go and hide in a corner just because they are making these threats. We need to ensure that law enforcement meets these people head on. And that's why I've said there's no negotiating, because the only negotiating that we should be doing is the length of prison sentences that they should be serving for perpetuating crimes against the state, because that's actually what it is. This is state money. These are state-led projects, and we are being held hostage by a bunch of thugs and thieves. So we're very clear on what needs to take place. And I think in instances we've started to see law enforcement make their move in opposition to these people. But let's make no mistake, Bronwyn, these are not just local community members. They are highly organized, highly sophisticated, with very big guns, and they have intelligence. So it does suggest to me that these people have access to politicians, they have access to political parties, and we need to act without fear or favor and make sure that we don't just get the lowly person who's stopping the construction, but who is his boss and where the orders are coming from.
And obviously this has been going on for a very, very long time, so it runs really deep. And if you look at the structure within the government and specifically your department, you have personnel that previously occupied positions that would have been privy to the construction mafia in their prior roles. Can you perhaps elaborate on how you are cleaning up your department, so to speak?
Absolutely. And I've been upfront that not everyone in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure are saints and benevolent. And there are elements within the department that I believe to be problematic. But they are also very good people, and they are very committed people to ensuring that we do turn South Africa into a construction site, that we do clean up this department. And so I've simply said that if that's the approach that you take, you have a friend in me. If you want to be hostile to the vision that we have and the direction and the pace in which we are moving, you're going to be on the wrong end of that. So we will be in time instituting a skills audit amongst our senior staff, and we must make sure, are they fit for purpose? Did they Did they get that job on the right qualities and qualifications? Unfortunately, I've already had serious allegations, and I take them seriously, of jobs being sold, positions being manipulated for certain people, and that's just not going to be tolerated. Because at the end of the day, we have to be a department that delivers. And that's why about a week or 2 weeks ago, I went to Telkom Towers, which is a project that the government has spent more than R1 billion on, and no one could explain to me why it is still like that. So we're going to be launching an independent investigation that's going to get to the bottom of why that has taken place. It's so bad there, Bronwyn, after 10 years and R1 billion later, they didn't even take the Telkom sign down. It's still there. So it just shows a real lack of duty of care. We're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to find out which officials were responsible for that. And more importantly, they're going to advise us on what to do with that building going forward.
In terms of launching an investigation, many will be thinking that's going to take so long, as we've seen investigations just getting kicked down the road. Have you got strict timelines, and when will you be able to come back and say, you know, whether it is the Telkom project or it is other elements within your department, that here is a strict line in the sand from a timing perspective?
Bronwyn, I've been very clear from day one that this department is going to be transparent so that we build trust in order that we can deliver services. So the terms of reference for the Telkom Towers investigation is 60 days. It's not going to be 60 months or 6 years. It's going to be short and sharp, and we're going to get to the bottom of it quickly, because you're right. We can't have a perpetual investigations that don't allow us to learn what went wrong, tighten up what needs to be done, and how to move forward. There are obviously other investigations that do naturally take a long time, like the one that we have found with the R300 million that has been stolen from our department over 10 years. You can't get to the bottom of something like that in a few short months when there's 10 years worth of evidence to get through. But I want us to be transparent. That's why I often go to the public and say, this is where we are. These are the problems that we face, but this is how we're going to deal with it. Because public works has become, you know, the joke around, you know, the dinner table. And I want us to be a department that South Africa is proud of, that we are delivering on our mandate, that we're using public assets for public good, and that we're turning this country into a construction site. That's the kind of pride that I want our staff and my staff to have as we move forward.
You're obviously also reliant on an ecosystem. And here one would perhaps ask you, do you trust the law enforcement agencies that you are obviously initiating the investigations with?
So I have a very good internal department in corporate governance and risk. They're really good people. But we're also going to be bringing in outside bodies to do these investigations, because the reality is, Telkom Towers is an example, I can't ask the department to investigate itself. That would be illogical. So we will give it to an audit investigation firm that will actually be able to act independently, will not be able to be swayed one way or another, and then we'll be able to produce credible findings and suggestions going forward. I know what's wrong, but it's now time that we find out who's responsible for that and what we can do going forward. Do we sell the building? Do we continue to renovate it? And these are the kind of questions that I think independent people need to give us, and so that we're not stuck in an echo chamber that allows us to keep making the same mistakes.
Now, the construction mafia is not isolated to KwaZulu-Natal. It's also prevalent in the Western Cape. Are you initiating the same investigations in that territory?
Well, I'm supporting the work that the mayor of Cape Town is doing, Jordan Hill Lewis, and he's come out very strongly to oppose these bandits. But he's also putting money where his mouth is. And he has made additional funding available for law enforcement. He's made additional money available for tip-offs and information that leads to the arrests of people. And that is yielding results. And I think that that's the kind of space that we need to move into. But I think the thing that South Africa needs to come around and agree on is that these are not local community members. These are very organized, very connected, and very well-armed individuals that are criminal syndicates. And I think that if we can change the perception and ensure that they are treated as enemies of the state, because what person gets away with undermining the state, no matter what your views are on the state, holding it hostage, holding it to ransom, and then, you know, you get treated like any other criminal. That just shouldn't happen. So we need to treat them as enemies of the state, and then they must be sentenced as enemies of the state. And that's why I appreciate the work that the mayor in Cape Town has done, because there are now people behind bars that have worked to undermine city-led projects. And that's the kind of approach nationally we must be taking.
You've actually beaten me to my next question, which was, what is going to happen to individuals when they are found guilty? Are we heading for jail sentences? And will this be public in terms of accountability and named and shamed?
Well, the good news is that when you go to court, you are able to be named once you are charged. And I said, the only thing that we're going to negotiate is over prison sentences. Are you going to get 10 years or 20 years? That's the negotiation that we're going to get involved in, or we're going to make submissions to the court. But we're not, we cannot allow people just to get suspended sentences for, you know, for perpetuating crimes against the state. We have billions of rands tied up and locked up in projects that we just cannot move on, because these guys are holding us hostage. But, you know, we're also going to have to call on law enforcement, particularly the Minister of Police, that his officers must secure these sites. We obviously know that they can't be done in the way that we would like them, but those resources have to be made available. You'll recall, Bronwyn, that the President has dispatched the SANDF to guard power stations across this country to stop vandalism and sabotage from taking place. It doesn't happen anymore. So that's the kind of approach and the working together in government that we need, is that if we agree that these are crimes against the state, then we must act accordingly so.
It goes back to my earlier question as to whether you actually trust the law enforcement agencies. And I know that's not an easy question to put to you when you're trying to hold this ecosystem together. But are there questions around the integrity of the police in KwaZulu-Natal?
Well, look, let me answer it this way, Bronwyn. There's good and bad people in every organization, and the same would be said about the police. I know a lot of good police officers. I know a lot of good army officers. They love their country and they love the work that they do. But there are rogue elements in both. We can't say that that's not true. I think yesterday or this morning, I can't quite recall, that there was a police officer that was actually killed in exchange of gunfire with other police officers because he was on his days off, you know, moonlighting as a criminal. So the answer is clear that there are bad elements, but we have to work with what we have. And that is obviously the police and the SANDF, and we've got to work together to ensure that we secure our projects. And where police officers are found connected to these rings, they must also go to jail as well.
As the chairperson for the Democratic Alliance in KwaZulu-Natal, what is your message to all of those living in KwaZulu-Natal with this disarray afoot?
Well, all I can say is that, you know, the reason why we went into the government of national unity and the government of provincial unity, which I was involved in setting up, is because we want to change the way that things are being done. And we know having a collective effort between the DA, between other political parties, either in national or provincial government, that we can start to put our differences aside and put people first. For far too long, it's been politicians first, people a distant second. And I think that that's been our goal, is to use the positions that we have now in government to ratchet up pressure on these thugs, but also ensure that we are using infrastructure projects to move the dial on economic growth and job creation, because that's what it's about at the end of the day, Bronwyn. We've got to get this economy moving. We've got to create jobs for people that give them dignity in their own home. And if anyone is going to try and stop that, they are then going to become an enemy of us. And I'm very clear about my call to the department and to our country, and the president backs it, to turn this country into a construction site. Because infrastructure-led economic growth is one of the best forms of growth that we could hope for. So that is what I obsess about every day. That's what my team obsesses about. And that's what we want to deliver to the people of KwaZulu-Natal and South Africa.
It's a tall order and a big task ahead of you. I was chatting to Alec Hogg, the editor of BizNews, in our editorial meeting this morning, and I informed him about our interview. And he was saying, if you can, please put to Minister McPherson how he's going to do this when so many others have made the same promises and have failed. How are you going to ensure in a government of national unity where you are dealing not only with members within your own party, how are you going to make sure, Minister, that you can deliver on these promises?
Well, that's what the government of national unity will live or die on, is whether it moved the needle on economic growth and jobs. And that is a heavy responsibility that we have to bear. But I have been greatly encouraged by cabinet meetings that I've attended, the meetings with the president, meetings with officials, that people, by and large, are committed to this project. Because the alternative is an MK-EFF government. And that would be totally disastrous for South Africa. Are the partners in the GNU going to disagree on some issues? Absolutely. Will it get noisy from time to time? Of course it will. Because we're also political parties that are now in a system of government. But I am of the view, having the access that I do now have, is that political parties are committed to this. I think it's going to last 5 years. And if we do that, and if we focus religiously on economic growth and creating jobs, and that is the thing that binds all of the policies together, I think that we're on to something that can take South Africa into a new direction. And that's certainly our commitment.
When I look at your deputy minister, Sihle Zikalala, who was former premier of KZN, what does he say to you about the state of KwaZulu-Natal that you have inherited under his watch?
Look, I'm not here to pass judgment on people, what they did or didn't do. The president has appointed us respectively into our positions. It's up to us to work together to put the interests of the country first, no matter what our personal views might be of each other or where we come from. And that is for the entire government, that we have a common rallying position, which is around the soon-to-be-launched medium-term development framework. And our job is to simply go and execute that, to make sure that we get cranes in the sky and shovels into the ground. And I know that in a collaborative way, we can certainly achieve that.
Do you have a good working relationship with the deputy minister?
He's the deputy minister in my department. If I didn't have a good working relationship, that would be problematic. So we speak to each other. We make sure that we're headed in the right direction. We make sure that the work needs to be done, and that we both contribute to the team effort, which is Team South Africa. So that's where we are, and I think that we're moving in the right direction together.
Just a final question. So 60 days, we're looking at the Telkom Towers investigation being initiated now. Can we regroup in 60 days to look at the results of that investigation?
I will make sure that they are published, that every person has a copy of them. I have said that we are transparent, and we will make sure that every person is able to see them and also know how we're going to act on them.
Mr. McPherson, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a busy day ahead, and we really appreciate you here on BizNews.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you.